Mini episode 484 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by The Sports Train, the finest pure sports talk show on both terrestrial and internet radio. Follow them on the web at thesportstrain.net.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 484. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross breaking down the NFL for you. This is NFL Week 10. Now, going back to Week 9 on the schedule, I went 8-5 last week, 2-1 on my Big 3, 0-1 on my lock. For the year, 67-66-1 on the picks on all the games, 14-13 on the Big 3, 4-9 on the locks. However, as I noted,
other than those locks, it's real 500 situation there.
Well,
but
as I keep saying, I called it Week 5. I had this incredible record going. I said, high water mark. I didn't outright tell you to start going the other way, but you could have logically inferred that from what I was saying.
Oh, this sounds like a real handicapper move. It's not out of my playbook.
If you went with me the first 5 weeks, against me the next 4 weeks, 84-63-1, Kyle Ross.
Although you did go 8-5 last week with your picks.
So that would
you
be 5-8. Yeah. Yes. So I'm undermining myself.
Sounds like some real Republican gerrymandering to me.
If you went against me, you were 5-8 last week. But you, Kyle, last week, 2-3, but 22-17 for the season. Still winning and looking forward
what
to getting
back
in the black.
What am I not, 22-17? Yeah, back-to-back tough weeks.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting very upset at the NFL. I can't figure out the NFL. It shouldn't. What are these bad teams going to start covering?
Well, yeah,
spoiler alert, I'm going to pick them to do it again this week.
Well, we look forward to hearing all about that. Teams on the bye this week, New England, San Diego, Houston, Indianapolis, Washington, and Minnesota.
I was going to say, look, these primetime games, guys, just go favorites and overs. You know, Florida-Georgia line's the best group in America now, I guess. It's just the squares have won.
You know what?
It's so frustrating. Betting is not supposed to be that easy. Those nice hotels are not there because favorites and overs win in every primetime game.
I wasn't expecting, frankly, anyone to get to mention Florida-Georgia line before I was going to get to my joke later, which my joke, of course, being Florida-Georgia line right now is ubiquitous, but the Dallas-Jacksonville line is completely non-existent.
Oh, very good. Okay, got you.
You know, so we'll get that out there a little bit early. But
very good.
I was very proud of myself for coming up with that one.
Your writers are working overtime this week, I see.
Ah, they are indeed. Starting with the Thursday night game, as per always, it's the Battle of Ohio. My 5-3 Cleveland Browns at the 5-2-1 Cincinnati Bengals.
They're not your 5-3 Browns if you listen to the AFC podcast, which, by the way, will be.
Spoiler alert. Yes. Following shortly thereafter this one here. 8:25 Eastern Time Thursday night from Paul Brown Stadium in the Natty. On the NFL Network only with Jim Nantz, Phil Simms, Tracy Wolfson. Fortunately, they do also show it in the local market, so I, as a non-NFL Network viewer, will
still
be able to
see it. How do you not
have
the NFL Network yet?
I have a crappy cable package. I describe myself as a quasi-cord cutter. I still have cable, but it's just a completely limp-ass package. It's horrible. And then I go get Hulu Plus, WWE Network, and all these other things to supplement it. So there you go. But now that everyone knows way more than they need to about my cable situation.
You want to make fun of the welfare queens.
Hey, I'm paying it myself, unlike Obama voters, okay? Oh!
Hey, tell you what, it's Obama voter. I'll tell you what, you take a look at my cable bill, you think I would have voted for Josh Mandel, okay, pal? Get out of my case.
Oh, my. Yeah, exactly.
By the way, Cleveland-Cincinnati, a very Democrat v. Republican kind of situation here.
It kind of is. I was going to say two fraud teams. We don't know in this game who's John Kasich and who's Ed Fitzgerald, but you do have the Bengals laying 6. I'm gonna yield to that and say that they are, of the two, the John Kasich team, the fraud team, but the one that I do expect to go over in this situation.
You like them to cover.
I like them to cover clean in the middle, if you will. And my biggest thing is here, the Browns have had such – complete chaos the last couple weeks since Pro Bowl center Alex Mack went down for the year. I just keep coming back to this. What is Geno Atkins going to do to this offensive line? It ain't going to be pretty. Much as I want my Brownies to win, it ain't going to happen here. It's the longest, I think, since the merger, because I think it goes back to 2007, the Browns' streak of not winning road divisional games.
17 in a row, I believe.
17 in a row, longest since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970.
Are they going to keep losing all of them?
Well, they're gonna do it again this week, I'm afraid. I'll take the Bengals to cover in this one because I think, and again, and I've been on record as saying this, I think the Bengals are a fraudulent 5-2-1.
Yes, they are.
Just a little bit less of a fraud than the Browns, so I'll take the Bengals.
Bengals are a play against team for me, second half of the season. And they might win this game straight up, but I think this line should be a lot closer to a field goal than it should be to a touchdown. I'm recommending a lot of games this week. I'm recommending the Cleveland Browns plus the points.
Wow.
I think they stay in this one.
That doesn't happen very often.
I think there is a better chance of them winning this game outright than getting blown out. I the Bengals' point differential this year through 8 games is plus 7. They're going to double that in 1 week? Don't think so.
I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I think it could be. You don't often speak of favorites with the backdoor cover, but I could see like a late field goal that takes it from 6-9 or something like that. I could just see something like that playing.
The underdogs and the unders have to start coming on these primetime games, and I think the best time we've seen to do that is when there's not an awesome quarterback playing for the favorite, like Andrew Luck on Monday.
If the Browns don't win, I could give a crap. But as far as if they actually win, then I hope you're right about that being at least a probability
there.
I think
too much is being made of the Browns' struggles the last 3 weeks. Cincinnati.
Have you watched the way that they've played against the league's worst teams?
Yeah, Cincinnati sleptwalked that game through Jacksonville. Defensively, gave up a lot of yards.
Well, I ask you this, Kyle.
6 yards a play, I think they gave up last week.
I ask you this. You have the Bengals, who defeated Jacksonville 33-23. Who played worse against Jacksonville, the Bengals or the Browns?
Well, the Browns had to play in that tough environment in Jacksonville with all those swimming pools.
Yeah, and the hot tub.
Just because Team A beats Team B and Team B beats Team C doesn't mean Team A is going to beat Team C.
Although I did love to throw it in my dad's face. In 2000, the year that Ohio beat Minnesota, Minnesota beat his alma mater, the Ohio State Buckeyes. I gave him the whole, if A beats B and B beats C, would A beat C? I loved throwing that in his face.
Well, I'm sure he loved that.
he didn't exactly.
Well, then I'm sure he said, how would OU play in this Big Ten football? By the way, are we going to get a blue-collar AFC North game here Thursday night?
Yes. How about that? And by the way, that's the kind of joke I could only make at the nadir of the John Cooper era. That was my window forever making fun of Ohio State at the expense of my Ohio University Bobcats. That will, unfortunately, never come again. On to Sunday's football games, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Ralph Wilson Stadium, Orchard Park, New York, on CBS. Spiro Dedis and Solomon Wilcox, the immortal play-by-play and color commentary combination here. The 5-3 Chiefs at the 5-3 Bills.
Excuse me.
Yeah. It may or may not be an eliminator game here. Certainly the team that wins this game is going to be an excellent.
Yeah, I don't think it's an eliminator game. I think the winner's just in good shape.
I think they are. This is a game where the Bills are in this game. Wow, now
they're getting two.
They're getting two. They had opened as a two-point favorite.
Yes, I'm seeing some 1.5s on the board, even a 1 in some place.
One of the things that I keep coming back to here, you know me, I like to pull a number where I can, and USA Today Sports Weekly, my co-pilot, as per usual here, looking at the stat sheets.
Thanks.
One of the things that jumps out at me, well, you know, just for my personal prep for the show, but you are my co-pilot on the show, of course. Alex Smith, 67.1 completion percentage. In a game where I think both teams may struggle to run the ball a little bit, the Chiefs have a very good running game collectively with Charles and Davis. Most of that's on Charles, but you've got Davis as well. Versus you can run on the Chiefs a little bit more, but the Bills have basically nobody to do it at this point with their injuries. I like Alex Smith being able to keep the chains moving by means other than the run. So I'll say Kansas City to win this one outright and cover the 2. This is the one I thought might surprise you. I'll take Kansas City on the road.
Road favorite Ricky. Why would that surprise
me?
I don't like this game. Based on my preseason predictions, which I had Buffalo in the playoffs and Kansas City regressing, you'd think I would go with the Bills. But that mentality has hurt me the last couple weeks. Kansas City is clearly better than I thought they were. Buffalo, ironically, might be wind up having a better record than I thought they would, and I had them in the playoffs. And neither team of these teams can make the playoffs, so that makes any sense. But I'm staying away from this one, man. I really wanted to pick the Bills, but I can't. Not with I just think the Bills, both of these teams, I think moving forward are going to be play against teams, but you can't play against them both here.
Yeah, I would understand that point very well. Up next, it's the London game. The 6-3 Cowboys versus the 1-8 Jags, 1 o'clock Eastern time from Wembley Stadium in London on Fox. Five-time Lounge guest Kenny Albert teaming up with Daryl Moose Johnston and Tony Siragusa on the call. This is the one that I was joking about before. You can't really get a line on the game, so I hate to do this. In the 3 years that we've been going week by week, I don't know that there was one game where we couldn't at least locate a line somewhere, no matter how shady it might be. You know, even one underground guy putting up a line. So, you know.
I mean, if you'd like, I'll give you odds right now if you'd like.
What would you think it would be? I mean, I would guess you're probably looking, I mean, and this is a wide span, but I'd say 10 to 14 probably.
No,
it
won't be that high.
You don't think so? Okay.
It'll be between, depending if Romo plays,
okay.
It'll be between 7 to 10.
Oh, okay. If there was a line and I was making a play, I mean, I was making my notes assuming we'd find one at some point just because we never have run into this where we can't find one. I would have probably been on the Jags just because, again, I think that the Cowboys are
due. They just want to get to the bye week.
Well, they're due to have it turned around as far as that they've been third in the league in time of possession. And Jacksonville, with their newfound running game with Denard Robinson, is a team that could kind of frustrate that a little bit. So I would like Jacksonville's ability to hang close. If Jacksonville, you know what? If Jacksonville wins outright, I'm claiming that as a win, even though there was no line. They won't win outright, of course.
Yeah, sometimes time of possession doesn't matter against the Jags when Blake Bortles is throwing pick sixes.
Yeah, true.
I'm not doing anything in this game. There's no line. What do you
There's
want me
no
to do?
There's no line. Yeah.
No thanks. This is, again, like Kansas City, Buffalo. I would. Right now, both these teams are in play against situations. Jacksonville was a nice winner for me last week, just barely, against Cincinnati. You know, Dallas, like I just said a moment ago, they're desperate to get into that bye
right.
week and get Tony Romo healthier.
It just, again, it kind of sickens me that, I mean, because, like, every week,
really
even if it's like Shady Pete's back alley line, whatever, like we've always
Shady
been able to
Pete's.
Find,
we need a line.
Yeah, we've always been able to find a line. This is the first time in I think 3 years.
Don't bother me
that we haven't. No, I try to pick every game. I feel like I'm ducking, even though there's nothing to duck here. So, you know, I don't like that part of it. It just it offends the OCD part of me a little bit. I guess is what it kind of comes down to.
You are a stubborn man.
I am indeed. Up next, it is the 2-6 Tennessee Titans at the 5-4 Ravens, 1 o'clock Eastern time, M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore on CBS. The immortal team of Andrew Ketelon, Steve Tasker, and Steve Berline.
A lot of immortal teams from the CBS side of things, aren't there?
I find myself.
Yet no Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. I think I'd almost rather hear Hulk
Hogan. Yeah, I was going to say, yes,
doing
yes,
promos.
Yeah. Who would you rather throw it down and do on the sidelines, the Hulkster or Steve Tisker or Tasker, okay?
Well, let me tell you, Ian.
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
Mario Williams weighs 700 pounds, and I just slammed him.
I threw on my back.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know if he'd let me either.
Baltimore's.
I didn't do steroids.
Oh, he limits that lie to Arsenio.
Oh, yeah.
Baltimore's laying 9.5 down from 10 initially.
Still some tens available, though.
Okay. Again, one
it's
of the things I keep coming back to here, you got the Titans giving up about 134 yards per game on the ground. I just think, again, they're going to be hard-pressed to keep it close against Baltimore because I think the Ravens are going to be able to come out with that kind of a number there with a very, very balanced attack, and that's deadly for anybody trying to keep it close. Any kind of a lesser team, if you can't cheat against the run or cheat against the pass at all, you really have no kind of chance whatsoever. Tennessee, with their very shaky quarterback situation, is just going to be up a crick here, I think, against Baltimore. So I would say away the 9.5.
Well, Tennessee's not a very good team, are they?
No.
Baltimore off back-to-back division losses on the road. You'd think this is a get-well game for mm-hmm. them. Point spread indicates that. Laying double digits in most places. I see a 10.5 up there, too. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. I'm going to tell you something right now, Rick Morris. Situationally, I like the Titans in this spot. I'm going to tell you why. They're coming off a bye. Okay. Baltimore has not had its bye yet. If Tennessee gets blown out here, like, don't they just quit on the season?
They might.
Like, what do you do in that spot? Baltimore, 1-8 against the number the last nine times they have laid double digits. I see a 10.5. I will take a 10.5. Titans get the recommendation.
Wow. Okay, another Kyle Ross.
By the way, the only hallmark of Kyle Ross that's still working are double-digit dogs.
Okay.
Had Jacksonville and Oakland last week.
Well, there's something to
And the Rams won outright, and I didn't take them. Double-digit dogs are still a proven commodity in this industry.
They're doing well this year, no doubt. Next up is the 4-4 49ers at the 4-4 Saints. It's the Bounty Bowl, 1 o'clock Eastern time from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans.
Bowl.
Well, this is the game from that the Bounty scandal came out of, isn't it? It was that playoff game with the Saints and the 49ers, I believe. I thought that was the one that launched the whole thing, I thought.
Well,
Greg Williams
me.
Was saying to tee off on Alex Smith or whatever, and yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Thank
Good
you for making
call.
Me explain it to everybody.
They probably didn't know. I mean, what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, well. Yes.
I didn't think it was that obscure a piece of history, but okay. All right.
Bounty, what?
These teams use Bounty for toilet paper? What's going on here? Kevin Burkhart, John Lynch, and the delicious Pam Oliver on the call on Fox. And this is a game where it's not quite – we talked about it with Buffalo and Kansas City. This can't be an eliminator game because the Saints can't possibly be eliminated because they're in the worst division
in
football.
It is for the Niners, though.
But for the Niners, it's going to be
– if they fall to 4-5 and Arizona's at home against St. Louis, that's, what, three games – would they be
– it would be
– they'd be four games back.
Yeah.
Hello.
This is a game that they have to have, and as such, again, if I'm picking – San Francisco to make the playoffs. Spoiler alert, I still am. They're getting 4.5 in this one, up from 2.5 at the open.
And I see a lot of fives.
Yeah. I like San Francisco to cover. Better yet, I like them to win. You have posed the question, Kyle Ross. New Orleans can't stay undefeated at home forever, can they? I say no. I say Sunday is when it all happens. I like the 49ers outright on the road.
Love where your head's at. Mm-hmm. Give me the Niners plus the 5.
Okay.
This one's going to go up higher, too. If you like it, if you're like us, like the Niners, wait till Sunday. You're going to get 5.5.
Yep. Well, as much as you like that one there, you ain't going to like either side in the next one based on our off-air conversation. It's the 2-6 Falcons at the 1-7 Bucks. Kind of funny now that Tom Brenneman is not the temp on Fox's A-team. He's been busted down to this game here. Tom Brenneman, David Deal, and the lovely Tandalora Oakman.
What do you say about Joe Buck? I mean, my God.
At Raymond James Stadium in Tampa.
Thanks for nothing, Foam.
On Fox, yeah.
He's an OU man, isn't he?
I don't think so.
Tom Brenneman?
Or maybe he is.
I'll look that up.
Maybe he is.
Because I don't care about this game, and I'm making no picks on it, so I'm going to look up if Tom Brenneman went to our alma mater.
Okay, well, you know, again, you know, for a guy that, slobbered over Tim Tebow as he did once on the air, it still wouldn't be nearly as big of a skid mark as us having to claim Jay Mariotti. That is a point of eternal shame for the Scripps School grads among us here. That is just absolutely shameful.
He spoke highly of you. Yes, he attended Ohio University.
Oh, he did. Okay. All right. A Scripps School man.
I thought he was, yes.
Okay.
And he was a beta, too. I
All
lived
right.
with three of them my senior year. That's where I thought I knew it from.
Okay. Well, Tampa Bay in this one is getting 1.5. They had been laying 1.5 at the open. And I don't blame you for not wanting a piece of this one because it's one of the tougher games of the week to pick. The instinct is to go on the Falcons based on the way that they absolutely decimated Tampa Bay the first time around. But
Tampa Bay remembers that. They got there's always the revenge angle.
Yeah. And they got
Falcons are off a bye, though.
Yeah, but
all these things make me hate this game.
Tampa Bay's got better playmakers right now. I have to say
they
this,
do?
Though. Well, who would you rather have, Bobby Rainey or anybody that Atlanta's got at running back? Keeping in mind that Antoine Smith, who I have been touting all year, is – but he should be getting featured more. It's still plotting old
Who would
Steven
you rather
Jackson
have, Matt Ryan
guy.
I'd
or rather
Josh
Matt,
Tears
I'd
of McCown,
Matt,
who apparently may start in this game?
But here's the thing, though. And as much as I love Julio Jones, would you rather have him and whatever level or replacement level schmuck is lined up aside from him, whether it's Roddy White, who's over the hill, or Harry Douglas or whatever, or Jackson and Evans, who are the ascendant pair in this division.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, they got a while to ascend. They ain't ascending very much this year.
Well, you know, they've been coming along a little bit better recently.
They're stuck in the Beachland Ballroom, and they ain't going to be playing Quicken Loans Arena anytime soon.
I go back and forth on this one, but Tampa Bay's just due to convert on one of these ones. They're at home. Give me the Bucs with the 1.5. Not that they'll need.
They
it,
open
obviously.
Minus 1.5 too. So
kind of
you know, change of favorite. You know,
yeah.
Usually you want to go with the team that opened as the favorite. And
right.
Is now getting points. I hate this game. I'm not playing it.
I don't blame you. If I wasn't giving opinions on all of these, I wouldn't
you
be on it.
Stubborn,
myself.
Stubborn bastard.
Yeah, I'm going to give opinions on all that I can. Obviously not Dallas and Jacksonville though, because that's not one that I can. Not that that bothers me or anything. But,
get over it, Ricky. There's no freaking line. Okay, man? If you want to bet on the game, Jesus Christ. Dallas minus 8.5. Who are you taking?
I would take Jacksonville.
Okay, there you go.
All right, there we go. For the reasons that I cited. Next up, the Oakland Raiders will try to avenge their loss in the 1977 AFC Championship game. The 0-8 Raiders are hosting the 6-2 Denver Broncos, 4:05 Eastern Time from Ocho Coliseum in Oakland on CBS. Greg Gumbel, Trent Green, and Evan Washburn on the call of this one. Denver is laying 11 points. I keep coming back to a couple things here. I'm always looking for it seems to me a lot of times whenever a trend gets noticed, that's right about the time that it's due to start going the other way.
Yep.
There's a couple things that would bother me if I was looking to play Denver in this game. And
playing double digits on the road should be one of them.
Well, but here's the thing, though. Turnover ratio, which, again, there's a lot of flukishness to that, as you and I have indicated
yes.
over time. Oakland's pretty bad in that. Denver's pretty good in that. So...
Hey, we saw the turnovers bite Manning last week.
Yeah, Oakland's due to sort of deliver a few more here as well. Additionally, Raiders are 10th in the league in pass defense. You would think this is a get-well game for Manning, and it could well be. But again, you know, as much as I talk about this, the bad teams doing the penis punching, sneaking in for the backdoor cover, this just feels like it to me. If the line is 11, which it is, I see Denver winning by 10. This is just going to be one of these games that annoys all the people jumping on the road favorite, which would generally be me. But in this instance, I will take Oakland getting the 11.
Good boy. Last five times the Raiders have played in America, they have lost by 11 points or less. I'm, of course, just skipping over that
in
regrettable.
In Roger Goodell's America, we need to have that asterisk.
Yes, I'm skipping over that regrettable performance against the Dolphins in London.
Yes.
Look, I like double-digit dogs, and I definitely like them when they're at home. I mean, laying double-digit on the road is I mean, you've basically got to have, well, one of the two best teams against one of the two worst. That's what we have here. I see a 12.5 on the board at five dimes too. Give me that. I'll lay a little extra juice to get 12.5.
You like Oakland, okay?
Yep, that's a recommendation.
All right, another recommended play.
Hey, Raiders stayed within 16 of Seattle in Seattle last week.
Yeah.
By the way, there are not a lot of wins on this Raiders schedule.
Right.
I mean, will they go 0-16?
I don't think so, but again, see, here's a funny thing, though.
I'd like them to be, you know what? We keep talking about when will Kansas City maybe have that hiccup because they've been better. The Raiders host them on a Thursday night.
That could, Thursday night, weird things happen. And here's the thing, though. Like, the last couple of years, and I realize this is like a cheater thing to do, right? When you're going through and you're predicting the preseason records, I've always got Oakland down for like two wins. And usually it's a thing of like, come on now, they'll win more than that, and they do. I think I had them for two wins this year.
Oh, yeah.
Guess who's right this year? It only took me like 4 or 5 years of picking it all the time, but they have finally played down
to
what
I expected. By the way, they need a RG3 like heist when it comes to the top pick next year.
No.
Unless if they go – do you think they're going to hold on? I mean, obviously, they're going to probably have a new regime. Entirely
Reggie
new regime.
Reggie McKenzie making the picks,
I'll
tell you that.
So they've got Derek Carr. Does the new regime hold on to him? He's been, like, okay, despite – I mean, they don't have a lot of talent on that. I'm just saying, like, they need, like, a lot of draft picks.
They do. They absolutely do. And, look.
If there's a team desperate for a quarterback, I think you got to make a heist.
Yeah, like somebody like the Jets. Although, in my fondest dreams, the Browns fleece the Jets for a first-round pick for Johnny Manziel. I'm still clinging to that fantasy.
Maybe they'll do it with the Cowboys if Tony Romo's back never heals.
Maybe they'll do that. But by the way, my fantasy from there goes to, with the Browns having three first-round picks, using them to package to go up to get Marcus Mariota or somebody else to be the quarterback of the future next year. That would be my thought.
People love drafting the quarterback of the future, huh?
Absolutely.
What about the quarterback of the present?
The Browns don't have one.
No,
and
they don't.
That's why I'd like to see that be done. Two teams that don't have the quarterback of the future, although one certainly has the quarterback of the present, it's the 3-5 Rams at the 7-1 Cardinals.
Ugh.
With Carson Palmer. Above average Carson Palmer, if you will.
Replacement level Carson Palmer.
Chris Myers, Rondé Barber, and Jennifer Hale have the call on Fox 425 Eastern Time from University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, the host site of the Super Bowl this year, with the Cardinals in the Super Bowl. Stay tuned for more, and we'll see through the course of the season. The Cardinals had started by laying 7.5 in this one. It's down to 7. And, again, I've indicated previously, I don't like the Rams. You talk about, like, a bad penis-punching team, stealing wins from better teams, causing havoc in the playoff race when they have no business doing so.
They're not allowed to win games now, according to you?
Yeah. I like to at least see them do it man up rather than with this, you know, the football equivalent of the hidden ball trick. You know, just bush league
good
crap.
Good coaching.
Ugh.
You know what they should do? They should just line up their 11 guys against those 11 guys, and they should just run at them, right?
Smash them in the mouth
they should
and
just
run
at
better.
Them.
Run
they
right
just
at
run
them.
Right at them. Yeah. You know, let's put the old leather helmets on and just, you know, no passing.
You're mocking my take here, but I stand by it nonetheless.
No, I was mocking it, yes. I'm about ready to mock another take of yours, too, by the way, just – I bet.
They're, again, the Rams are just so weak when it comes to that kind of crap. But, you know, again, I could.
Uh-oh.
Just, you know, the whole just to piss me off
they
thing
have
is not a
both
very.
Both Seattle and San Francisco.
Yeah, the whole just to piss me off thing is not a very scientific prediction on my part. But once in a while, I just defer to my gut. And this just feels like a game. I don't think they're going to win outright. But basically, just to be annoying, they're probably the most annoying team in the league right now. And they'll probably lose by 5 just to, like, stay annoying and piss off all the bettors and everything like that. Again, it's just a gut feeling on my part without anything else to go on, but I like them getting inside of the 7.
They will not piss off this bettor because I'm taking them.
Okay.
Rams, there's an 8 on the board at 5 dimes. Get it. The Cardinals are 6-2 against the spread. They've covered 6 of their last 7. The only non-covers, their only loss at Denver. I think we're starting to see them get overvalued. This is the most points they've laid in the game this season.
Okay.
First time they've laid over 5. So, good spot to go against them.
Here's an interesting bit of trivia. As I am still predicting Seattle to make it back to the Super Bowl this year at Arizona, I have to look this up and see. I am a fan of some of the most obscure trivia things as regards the Super Bowl, the World Series, and things like that that you could ever possibly find. If Seattle goes to the Super Bowl, because, of course, they're going to play at Arizona this year. They're in the division. Their game that they're playing this week, Seattle, they're hosting the New York Giants. But last year they played at the Giants in the regular season. I don't think a team has ever gone to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row playing in the Super Bowl host stadium in those 2 years. I'm pretty sure that hasn't happened. Seattle would be doing a first if they did that. And part of that first would be beating the New York Giants this week. It's the 3-5 Giants at the 5-3 Seahawks, 4:25 Eastern Time, CenturyLink Field in Seattle. The Fox A team of Buck Aikman. Getting ahead of myself.
Excuse
here.
Excuse me?
I'm conflating their names. Buck Aikman and Andrews on the call. That's what happens when I try to run through the announcing names too fast. This is a game where Seattle is laying 9 points. It had been 7.5 at the open, so it only keeps kind of climbing.
It's already up to 10 at some of these sharper books, too. I'll tell you what, they're desperate to try to get some Giants money.
Well, and I can kind of understand why, because the Giants look like they've kind of folded the tents for this season. It was an ugly game last year, and you look at how they did it. When they fell behind, they got predictable, and they look like they're going to fall behind in this game as well here.
Short week.
Well, and Seattle is a brutal team to run on. You know, they got that reputation last year for being impossible to pass on. Bill Barnwell of Grantland said maybe the best secondary of all time for the 2013 Seahawks, and you'd have a hard time disputing that, I think. But the running defense this year has been absolutely superb. And the Giants, we've talked about this previously, have nobody to establish the run with at this point in time. I think it's going to get out of hand. Give me Seattle laying the 9 points. I keep saying that they're going to curb stomp somebody to really get back in there. And it hasn't, but it's got to one of these weeks, right?
Yeah.
Give me the Seahawks laying the 9.
Yeah, I'm too scared to lay points with Seattle right now.
Okay.
But I'm not taking them with the Giants. Pass.
All right, well, If you got nothing to say, might as well keep it succinct. On to the Monday nighter. It's the 3-5-1 Panthers fraud at the 6-2 Eagles. 8:30 Eastern time from the Link in Philadelphia on ESPN. Tirico, Gruden, and Salters on the call. And this is a game where Philadelphia is pretty much laying a steady 6 points throughout the course of the week. It's going to be the first game of Mark Sanchez going wire to wire, well, assuming that he doesn't get banged up and out of the game, as did Nick Foles. But for the Panthers, one of the few things they could hang their hat on coming into this season, it's funny, when we were doing the preseason previews, and I would put over that defense, and you, wisely, every time would stop me, you'd be like, you mean the front seven? Like, yes, I do mean the front seven, not including the secondary. Well, that front seven is allowing 131.9 yards per game. So even if Sanchez is having a subpar evening,
They're missing Greg Hardy, by the way, the front seven. That should be pointed out.
They are. They still have Luke Kuechly. They still have some excellent players in there as well. Shady McCoy, after a tough start to the season, has had it going better. Philadelphia is not going to be dependent on Mark Sanchez to win the game. Versus Carolina would be very dependent on Cam Newton.
They always have been ever since he's joined that team.
His legs and his arm. Give me Philadelphia, the more diversified offense, laying the 6 points on Monday night.
You want to lay a touchdown with Mark Sanchez.
Yeah. You can demagogue it all you want, but the answer is yes.
Carolina's got to show. I mean, look, I was as down on this team coming in the year as anybody. I picked them for 5 wins only.
Yep.
They're 1-6-1 their last – or is it 1-5-1? They were 2-0. Yeah, so they're 1-5-1. They've only lost 5 games. They're 1-5-1 the last 7 weeks. I'm not going to recommend this, but, you know, I might be inclined to take the points. I mean, eventually these underdogs have to start covering in prime time, don't they?
You got
to
think so, but
not a recommendation on Carolina. Yeah, I'm very leery. I have to see Mark Sanchez play. He looked all right against Houston last week.
This is not the spot where it happens. 3 games to go still, and wait a minute, what am I talking about? You're here this week. We don't have to get this in.
Yeah, I was gonna say yes.
Point
the usual, yes. Hey, hurry your ass up, Kyle. Stop babbling incoherently, Kyle. You said that last week, Kyle. No one gives a shit, Kyle.
you're paraphrasing me. Yes. You're revising and extending my remarks, as they say in our Congress here.
Yes.
For the first of my big three plays this week, it's the 6-3 Steelers at the 1-8 Jets. 1 o'clock Eastern time from MetLife Stadium.
Surprise me, Ricky.
Rutherford on CBS. Kevin Harlan, Rich Gannon on the call. This is one where Pittsburgh is laying 5, up from 2.5 at the open.
And it's going to keep climbing.
But here's the thing. Is it going to keep climbing enough? Because my first thought is it opened at 2.5.
But then reposted. They took it down.
Okay.
That was before, because remember, the Steelers played on Sunday night.
Yeah.
So the line actually opens before their game.
Okay.
So it was taken down and it was reposted at 4.
Still, as absolutely horrific as the Jets have been this year.
And they have been horrific.
I'm on the Jets because I'm looking at this. This is a Why Ask Why special. And in a week where I don't feel strongly about any of the games here, I'm struggling to get 3 out there as recommended plays. How are the Jets only getting 5? What do the wise guys know that I don't know? Hence, I'm on the Jets.
All the wagering in this game is on Pittsburgh, over 90%.
Yeah.
As of Wednesday.
Public's usually wrong.
Especially when it's that lopsided.
I don't know how the public's wrong.
The Jets have one of the worst ATS records in the league. They've covered one game. It was a Thursday nighter against New England,
and
by the way, in
so
New England.
Due.
Look, they have to cover sooner or later, don't they? Going into the bye, Pittsburgh, look, they've gotten real hot after everyone was writing them off.
Yep.
Pittsburgh has been known
mm-hmm.
to lose a game or two to a crappy team. Case in point, they lost at home to Tampa Bay
yes,
earlier this year.
Just about to say that.
Their next 2 games are at the Jets, at Tennessee. They're going to lose one of those 2 games.
Yep.
The Jets have to win sooner or later, don't they? I'm recommending the Jets plus the points. Wait, another one like San Francisco, wait till Sunday. You're going to be able to get more points.
I'm not even saying they're going to win, but
I don't think they're going to
lose by a field goal and you still cover.
Yeah, I think this line will get up to 6.
Yeah.
If not more.
That's the first of my big three. And again.
We agree.
Did not
work so well last week with San Diego.
No.
2 weeks ago worked great with New Orleans.
Well,
so let's make it 2 of 3.
The funny thing is, those were both my lock plays the last 2 weeks. So we're 1-1 in agreeing on lock plays. This is not my lock for this week. Just because I almost think I should have made a why ask why pick my lock, because the next two I'm actually pretty queasy on making recommended plays, but I'm going to go there anyways. I got to pick three games off this slate. Anyways, next up, it's the 5-3.
How's that line looking for Dallas Jacksonville?
Still don't have one. 5-3 Dolphins at the 6-2.
You're twitching.
Let me try and slap this OCD back into place here so I can.
Oh, wait, Ricky, hey, look, a line just popped up. Kidding.
5-3 Dolphins at the 6-2 Lions. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Ford Field, Detroit on CBS. Ian Eagle, Dan Fouts, and Jenny Dell, the CBS B team on the call for this one. And this is a game where the Lions are laying 3 points up from 2 at the open. And again, I have picked against my Dolphins, who I have said are my 1B team as far as rooting here.
They're 1A. Now they're 1B?
Well, 1A, I suppose, yes. Well, depending on how you define it. My second favorite
team.
Just
trying to get you straight here.
Yeah, my second favorite team behind my Cleveland Browns, my hometown Browns. And I've been
two really crappy teams to like, by the way. I've been meaning to mention that for a couple of years.
Well, they weren't always crappy. I'll just put it that way. The Dolphins
it
have
helped
been,
when there was eight teams.
Yeah, the Dolphins have been giving me a lot of L's this year picking against them. And you know what? Again,
they come from?
I love the Dolphins. So you know, if they can do it again, as much as I hate to lose a big three play, I won't mind. Maybe I'm doing something beneficial for them by going against them all these times. But I'm going to go against them one more time just because here's the thing. On the road, in an unfriendly atmosphere, now granted, it's all bandwagon fans because, you know, where were all these people when the Lions were, the Lions, right? But it's going to be a tough dome to play in on Sunday. And Detroit's passing defense has been absolutely sterling. Only 9 passing touchdowns they've given up during the year.
Their run defense hasn't been that bad either.
It's been very good. But I'm looking at this going, you want me to be on Ryan Tannehill in this situation? Nope. I will not be. Give me Detroit laying the 3 points.
Interesting. So you just laid out a few minutes ago how the last 2 weeks I have agreed with you on your lock.
Mm-hmm.
And we have won one of those, lost the other. This week, I am going to agree with you on two of your big three that are not the lock.
Okay.
I like Detroit, a rare favorite play from yours
truly. Okay.
Let's take a look at Miami's 3-game win streak. Let's give them some credit. But they beat Chicago, who's kind of a sorry no-account bunch. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Am I upsetting you for later? Then they beat Jacksonville by 2 touchdowns. The deciding points in there were both pick sixes off Blake Bortles.
Right.
San Diego, look, 37-0 was as impressive a win as I've seen all year. San Diego's real banged up, though, and was really desperate for a bye week. Detroit's coming off its bye week. At home, I know they were lucky to win their last – look, they were really lucky, actually, to win their last two games against New Orleans and Atlanta. Give me the Lions laying points. I think they match up well with Miami.
Well, you know, at 37-0, first of all, again, it looks like it could be a letdown spot coming off of that. Second of all, we've talked about this this year on the show, outlier games. Do we still put a lot of credence on Kansas City being way better than New England at this point? I mean, we have to let go of some of these notions here of anything really meaning that much.
Okay.
So, you know, I agree with you on that. We come now to my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 10. My lock plays during the season, 4 and 5. The Bears, who are 3-5, they are taking on the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau. 5-3 are the Packers. 8:30 Eastern time from Green Bay on NBC. Michaels, Collinsworth, and Tafoya, the Sunday night crew, on this one. This is a spot where Green Bay is laying 7, down from 7.5 at the open. And, again, I know you think that I sometimes put too much emphasis on the yards per game given up on the ground, particularly when we're talking about the Packers, but over 153 yards per game. I understand it didn't bite them the first time they played Matt Forte, but the law of averages says if you're that weak at stopping the run and you're playing a team like the Bears, it's not going to be good. I don't know if you have a strong memory of this or not, and I don't remember if you were on the Bears in this situation, but I shall consult my trusty notes for the season.
When was this?
And see.
I'll tell
you. Week 2, we were both on this. This feels a lot to me like that Bears 49ers game when everyone was counting out the Bears. And, again, if I believe that the Bears have even a faint hope remaining for the playoffs and that they're not going to go 3-6, I have to like them in this spot. I think they could win outright. They've been
too bad
against Aaron Rodgers too many times.
That's true. They got waxed in Chicago. Although the total yardage was fairly even, if
they
I remember.
They did. Yeah, and it just – that pendulum's going to swing the other way one of these times. Why not this time? My 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 10 is the Chicago Bears getting 7 Sunday night against the Packers. Your thoughts, Kyle Ross?
They're getting 7.5 in some places and 8-1. I'd take more points if I was you. I do not like this game at all.
Okay.
I am passing on this game. There are – I agree with you, Chicago's due to turn it around.
Yep.
But Green Bay, both teams are off a bye. So, I don't know. Green Bay, I think, is due to go on a monster run the second half of the year.
You wouldn't like the Bears even with the hook, huh?
I mean, a division dog getting that many is usually good, but favorites off a bye are usually profitable. I've got a lot of indicators going against each other here.
Okay. Well, that's not going to be a pick for you, but your picks for this week.
I have 7 of them.
Yeah, yeah. You have a favorite in there. Mark this down that this week Kyle had a favorite. It's the Lions. Your other picks, St. Louis, Oakland, a real rogues gallery there.
Keep it going. Here.
San Francisco, Tennessee, the Jets, and the Browns.
The Browns.
Those are your picks.
It's so just another week at the bottom here for me.
My big three, actually, again, agreeing with you on two of them, Detroit and the Jets. I also have for my lock pick Chicago on Sunday night. So, again, as I knew it would be, Kyle, a lot of fun convening with you in person.
As always.
Folks can also check out this way coming shortly our AFC and NFC previews for the rest of the season and our midseason analysis. So you can check that out in the forthcoming days here on the FDH Lounge. Want to thank you, as always, my friend, for being a part of this. And thank you all for checking us out on mini episode number 484 of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.